Yes, I noticed. I would like to welcome His Holiness Chandramouli Swami Maharaj. We are very fortunate to have him on this Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. And we will proceed to our next session, which is Bhagavatam study. And Maharaj is going to enlighten us from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 25, Verse 7 and 8. Whenever you're ready, Maharaj.
Mataji, Aditi Mataji will do introduction. Is it okay, Maharaj? Can Aditi Mataji do your introduction?
Maharaj, you're not audible.
We've done that so many times, haven't we?
Okay, Maharaj.
Yes, Maharaj, whenever you're ready, you can take the call over.
Put the verse up on the board. Okay, so here, so this chapter is entitled The Glories of Ananta, Ananta Dev, which is the multi-headed serpent at the bottom of the universe, which is an expansion of Lord Balaram, expansion of Lord Shankarshan, who is an expansion of Lord Balaram. So here we have the prose. So we'll go right into the translation. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sukadeva Goswami continued. The demigods, the demons, the uragas, serpentine demigods, the siddhas, the gandharvas, and the vidyadharas, and many high elevated stages constantly offer prayers to the Lord. Because he, referring to Anantadev, is intoxicated, the Lord looks bewildered, and his eyes, appearing like flowers in full bloom, move to and fro. He pleases his personal associates, the heads of the demigods, by the sweet vibrations emanating from his mouth. Dressed in bluish garments and wearing a single earring, he holds a plow on his back with his two beautiful and well-constructed hands. Appearing as white as the heavenly king Indra, he wears a golden belt around his waist and a Vaijanti garland of ever-fresh tulsi blossoms around his neck. Bees intoxicated by the honey-like fragrance of the tulsi flowers hum very sweetly around the garland, which thus becomes more and more beautiful. In this way, the Lord enjoys his very magnanimous pastime. So here's a nice description of the form of Lord Anantadev in his, how he dresses, how he looks, how he acts. Okay, verse number 8. If persons who are very serious about being liberated from material life hear the glories of Anantadev from the mouth of the spiritual master in the chain of the cyclic succession, and if they always meditate upon Sankarsana, the Lord enters the core of their hearts, vanquishes all dirty contamination of the material modes of nature, and cuts to pieces the heart knot within the heart, which has been tied tightly since time immemorial by the desire to dominate material nature through his activities. Narada Muni, the son of Lord Brahma, always glorifies Lord Anantadev in his father's assembly. Therefore, he sings blissful verses of his own composition. accompanied by his string instrument, or a celestial singer known as Tumburu. Purport: none of these descriptions of Lord Anantadeva are imaginary. They're all transcendentally blissful and full of actual knowledge. However, unless one hears them directly from a bona fide spiritual master in the line of the cyclic succession, one cannot understand them. This knowledge is delivered to Narada by Lord Brahma and the great Saint Narada, along with his companion Tumbura, distributes it all over the universe. Sometimes the Supreme Personality of Godhead is described as Uttamasloka, one who is praised by beautiful poetry. Narada composes various poems to glorify Lord Ananta, and therefore the word Samlokayam Asa, which means praised by selected poetry, is used in this verse. The Vaishnavas and the Gaudiya Sampradaya belong to the disciplic succession stemming from Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is the spiritual master of Narada. Narada is the spiritual master of Vyasa, and Vyasa wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam as a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. Therefore, all devotees in the Gaudiya Sampradaya accept the activities of Lord Ananta related in the Srimad Bhagavatam as authentic, and thus they are benefited by going back home, back to Godhead. The contamination of the heart of a conditioned soul is like a huge accumulation of garbage created by the three modes of material nature, especially in the modes of passion and ignorance. This contamination becomes manifest in the form of lusty desires and greed for material possessions. As confirmed herein, unless one receives transcendental knowledge in an acceptable succession, there is no question of his becoming purified of this contamination. Om Gyan Timiram Dasya Gyanarjana Salakaya Chaksu Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishtaya Bhutanai Srimakti Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaudamani Pacharine Nirvisesa Sunyavari Pastyatyade Sutarine Vanchakova Turuvischa Vipa Sindhu Vedavacha Vitanam Bhavane Vyom Vaishnava Vyona Mahona Mahajai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama. So material association means contamination. Just like we regularly take a bath every day, at least once a day, sometimes twice, because we want to cleanse the body just by living in the material world, the body becomes what we say in need of cleansing. And the body itself is made up of very, what we say, unmentionable substances that exude out of the skin and make the body, what we say, even more contaminating and even more repugnant. And that is the material body. And then, of course, the soul, which is represented in this material world by the mind, gets contaminated due to its association with the three modes of material nature. Now, these modes of material nature are considered to be like dirt. And there's different degrees of that covering. And just like you can be filthy dirty, you can be a little dirty, and you can be just, you know, slightly touched with the dirt. So in all the three modes, there is contamination. The contamination causes the soul be afflicted by the characteristics that make up the different modes, such as the mode of passion is lusty desires and anger and illusion. And the mode of ignorance is also illusion, greed, envy, pride. And all of these in the material, and the contamination of the mode of goodness is false sense of happiness and based on the association with the external energy, where the mind and the senses contact the external objects of the senses formulated by the intelligence, which is a more subtle form of contamination, but still, it's still contaminating. So in the material world, we are kind of dirty, to say the least. That's to use a nice word. So the cleansing process has to come. And therefore, one of the characteristics of dirtiness is illusion. What is that illusion? We think we're this material body. And we think that through the activities in the material world, we can find happiness. This is illusion because we are neither in this material body. We are distinct from the body and we live within the body. We are the pure soul. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, my vai vom sa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana masastani indriyani prakrishni stani karshati. We struggle in this material world to live, but we are his parts and parcels, spiritually pure in nature, but covered by contamination of the three modes of material nature, which is illustrated by having a particular type of body. So that this illusion carries off in the form of ignorance. So what is that ignorance? Well, we sometimes when we read the scriptures, we think that the scriptures are hyperboles or exaggerations, eulogies, over-glorifications or overstatements. And when we hear something that sounds a little bit fantastic from our perspective, we kind of doubt its veracity, its authenticity. And therefore, we honestly sometimes become a little faithless in our understanding of truth. And therefore, as it says here, before we can become somewhat clarified from that illusion and get to the platform of real knowledge, it's illustrated here that the Supreme Personality of Godhead takes the form of a multi-headed snake. And on the head of that snake, all the universes throughout existence are sitting on the head of the snake. The snake is so big that he doesn't even know how many universes are on his head, nor does he feel any weight from these universes, although he's carrying them. He is so big and so powerful. He's pure white in color, and he has he's dressed in light blue garments. His eyes roll as if intoxicated. He has a beautiful smile on his face. And he wears garlands. He has a Vaijanti garland. He also wears a belt made out of various precious jewelry. So one would think, wow, that sounds a little fantastic. Sounds like somebody came up with some imagination, and now here it is as some kind of factual statement within scripture. But the scriptures don't exaggerate. Scriptures give us the exact understanding, and sometimes they even fall short in giving what is actually there in terms of the understatement. In other words, in their glorification, they don't glorify even to the level that is required. But these statements, when it comes to descriptions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or even his pure devotees, like Lord Brahma, Lord Brahma has four heads, at least in our universe. In other universes, he has 8, 12, 100, 500, 1,000, 10,000, 10 million heads. Well, you might think, how is it possible that a body could have 10 million heads? You know? Well, again, we are working from our limited perspective. And therefore, when we use our limited understanding to understand something which is beyond the range of limitation, we either fall short or we doubt. And that is quite common also, like that. So therefore, it says here, by hearing from the bona fide spiritual master, because that hearing is a form of washing the contamination due to the association of these three modes. It's like taking a bath. When you hear from the guru, you're also hearing from Krishna, as Krishna is represented by his pure spiritual master. When the guru speaks, he speaks what Krishna would speak. He doesn't concoct anything. He doesn't have his own program. He simply is a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when he speaks, he illustrates words from the Shastras. You'll see when Srila Prabhupada would give a lecture, sometimes he would be quoting verses to support his lecture every few minutes or even less, regularly reciting the scriptures just to give authenticity and to give validations to what he is saying. And that is important. So when the guru speaks, he is purifying and also educating. He's doing both at the same time. And when that purification comes, it comes by awakening the chit potency within our heart, which is the knowledge potency, which is intrinsic in the soul's existence. In other words, the soul is already full of knowledge. So what we get from the outside is just finding its way into the inside, or inside means the soul. And the soul is actually resonating with that, and then it comes alive based on that knowledge. Or its awareness becomes more and more developed until it's fully aware. And so this is the process. And therefore this Prabhupada cautions us not to doubt what we hear from these scriptures as being something that is untrue, or just fanciful imagination that somebody who somehow or other created it, or an exaggeration of the reality. These are actual facts. When Krishna spoke to Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna at one point during the narration said that, you know, you're saying you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead, pure and supreme in all aspects. And not only are you saying it, but also others are also saying it. So these Shastras are confirmed by the great souls, such as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Jiva Goswami, Srila Sridhar Swami, and many, many other commentators who give further knowledge into the scriptures by their deep understanding of these verses. And when it comes to descriptions, it is factual, because this knowledge is coming from, this is called Avaroha. There's Aroha and then there's Avaroha. One means coming down, the other one means going up. So avaroha means coming down, and aroha means going up. One is knowledge given by the senses and empirical observation, historical development, and logic. And the coming down is called sabda. Sabda means pure sound. And that is coming from higher authority, ultimately Krishna himself, who is the Adi Guru, the original spiritual teacher. So when we hear from these scriptures, we're getting it from pure sources. We don't have to do any research to see if it's correct or not. We can do research just to confirm it, but to understand it better. But we don't need to do any research in order to prove its authenticity, because it's already been proven by the great souls and practiced and illustrated in the science of bhakti as a fundamental principle. So here we're hearing about the glories of Anantadev. He is so beautiful. It says that he is pure white. It's interesting, they gave an analogy connecting him to Indra, as white as the king of heaven, Indra. So obviously Indra is of that pure white color. And here it's the Lord is being indicated in a comparative way. Because maybe we don't know. We don't know, but maybe we can understand through reference. Just like, give you an example in Vedic culture. When the girl who's newly married to her husband, she goes to live at the house of the mother of the husband. And how she learns how to take care of her husband from the mother of the husband, who teaches her own daughter. So she teaches her daughter-in-law through teaching her daughter. This is the culture in India. Yeah. So this is how knowledge of what is the husband, how to serve the husband, is given to the wife through the mother, who teaches it to her own daughter, and she's also preparing her own daughter at the same time for her marriage. So this is an interesting arrangement. So we can understand that, yes, when we hear this knowledge, it's coming from Krishna, but it's coming through the pure devotees of the Lord who have heard directly from Krishna. And that is our source of knowledge. And as we continue to hear, then realization on the knowledge will automatically start to develop. And realization comes by continuous hearing and by practicing Krishna consciousness. As we practice our devotional service and hear regularly, both of these two must work together as a unified force to awaken our knowledge of Krishna. Then gradually, the knowledge is no longer theoretical anymore, it's realized. We might give an example, just like when you're eating. As you're eating, your nourishment is increasing, your hunger is decreasing, and you're feeling happy by the taste of the food. So this is all happening in the eating process. So in the bhakti process, yes, as we continue to hear and practice, then arterial contamination is decreasing. Our connection with Krishna is happening. And at the same time, we're becoming transcendentally satisfied. Well, this is the process of devotional service. If we take to it, and as we mentioned here, the most important principle that's being illustrated here is to hear regularly from the spiritual master. This is a very essential principle of advancement. Because if we don't, then we may hear from other sources, and then we'll get maybe a wrong or an incorrect version of what is being said. And there's a lot of people who are in the name of a spiritual master who like to speak and also have followers, but they're not qualified because they're not connected in disciplic succession to Krishna. And therefore, they write their own books or come up with their own philosophical teachings, or they go to the authorized teachings and give out a screwed up meaning. They just take the real meaning and give it a twist to make it sound new or different or even better. So that is very prominent in this age. There are many in the name of Guru. But when we hear from our own spiritual master, we can say, yes, this is correct. And therefore, what's happening is that as we read the scriptures and hear the scriptures become part of our consciousness. They're no longer separate. We start to imbibe them, and they become a characteristics of our own personality after some time. We develop spiritual personalities simply by the hearing process. So that's the process. Okay, any questions or comments?
Thank you, Maharaj, for the very precise and very valuable class, as always. My humble obeisances at your lotus feet. Yes, it's pretty bewildering trying to understand that in one of the universes, Brahma can have 10 million heads. And it's so nice that you reminded us that by listening every time to Krishna Katha, to our scriptures, we develop a spiritual personality. So how important it is to listen, listen, listen. Thank you for emphasizing all the points, Maharaj. This really helps, and it will bring into our system, into the mind, body, and soul. May I kindly request the participants, the devotees, to please go ahead and unmute yourselves and share your videos. Maharaj would like to see you, and do not hesitate to go ahead and ask questions, please. I don't see any questions from anybody, Maharaj. Everybody has become sublime.
Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam, Maharaj. Wonderful class. Thank you so much for the wonderful class and for your association. We are so fortunate to have your association, Maharaj. Please bless us so that we can get the bhakti and always be in devotional service. Hare Krishna. Dandavat Pranam, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. My obeisances. So thank all you. The mercy of Srila Prabhupada.
Yes, Maharaj. Dandavat Pranam. Thank you.
So I have a question from Jyoti Mataji. Hare Krishna Maharaj, Dandavat Pranam Maharaji. Could you please share what will keep our chanting consistent and have a strong sankalp?
Mm-hmm. Well, the sankalp is what's going to keep it consistent. And what that means is it says that we should make a vow, I'm going to improve my chanting. I will focus on quality chanting. I will do whatever I have to do in order to bring about quality chanting. And I will make the arrangements. In other words, the sankalpa is, I want to perfect my chanting. Let me explore deeper the whole principle of quality chanting and apply it every day to my day-to-day japa. So it's a focused desire, ekagrata, focus, one-pointed. And when you do that, you'll see you can apply this to any particular aspect of life. And when you focus on something in life and you give it all the attention and knowledge that is required, then you become good at it in general. Focus on it. Read books about how to increase the quality of your chanting. Hear the lectures about chanting. Review the different points that are given. And when you practice, make sure that you are in that same mood. We should always be in a positive mood when we chant, and not in a negative mood, thinking it's so difficult or I can't chant. This will cause us to become less enthusiastic, and at the same time will bring about a kind of a defeatist attitude. We should think, today will be the best rounds I've ever chanted. We should think like that every day. And do the needful.
Thank you, Maharaj. Babu Prabhuji, just go ahead and you can unmute yourself and pose your question to Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Please accept my most humble obeisances. Yes, Maharaj, you mentioned knowledge from descending order and knowledge from ascending order. And knowledge, we understand knowledge from descending order is always superior and always the best. And I think Prabhupada quoted, it's a comment, it's not a question. Prabhupada quoted somewhere like, if we want to know who our father is, we need to ask to the mum, and they will be able to tell. But if we want to go by speculation, then we can do DNA sample on every man, and it's going to take longer period of time. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's a good example. That's what Prabhupada used to help illustrate. You go right to the authority when you want the knowledge, instead of speculating in different ways and using the nati-nati process, not this, not this, not this.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Yeah, thank you. Good point.
Pooja Madhaji, if you would like to pose your question, please.
Hare Krishna. Hello.
Hare Krishna.
Hare.
हांजी प्रभु जी मेरे को ये पूछना था आई वुड लाइक टू नो कि दैट व्हाट इज द रिलेशन बिटवीन भागवतम एंड द क्वांटम वर्ल्ड दैट आई एम स्टडिंग राइट नाउ आई हैड द क्यूरियोसिटी टू आस्क प्लीज
व्हाट इज द रिलेशनशिप बिटवीन भागवतम एंड
क्वांटम वर्ल्ड
quantum world?
Yes, Prabhuji.
What is your understanding of quantum world? What does that mean?
Sir, Prabhuji, where the normal laws of the environment doesn't work. The different world from our world.
Oh, you mean the mundane, you mean?
Yes, you can say that.
Yeah. Bhagavatam is Amala Purana. Now, Bhagavatam is an incarnation of Krishna himself in literary sound. Bhagavatam is coming by the author is Vyasadeva, who has taken the Vedanta Sutras and presented Bhagavatam from that Vedanta Sutra. Bhagavatam is called Amalam Puranam, pure. It's free from Artha, Kama, Dhamma, Moksha. In other words, the four activities of the human society. Whereas the opposite is all there in the mundane. So one is actually truth and the other one is simply speculation. Speculation will never help you. You can speculate forever and go from one situation to another, and you'll find yourself continuing to do that because there's no conclusion to speculation. Speculation just leads to more speculation. We speculate on an idea and we get some idea on what it means. And then something else comes along and gives us a greater understanding of that same thing. And then we add that kind of speculation to it. And then something else comes along. And so we just keep speculating forever. Because in the material world, there's nothing conclusive. So the mundane or the quantum, something quantum means something that is measurable. Mm-hmm. The spiritual realm is not measurable. It's dynamic. It's what is called ever expanding, unlimited. So it's also called ananta. Ananta means unlimited. So if you read Bhagavatam, you'll get the correct understanding. If you hear from the quantum sector of society or from society itself, it'll go on forever. You have so many philosophers, they all disagree with everybody else.
We have a question from Prahlad Prabhu. Dandavat Maharaj, what does it mean in this Canto 5, Chapter 25, in verse 7? And he put it in quotes, because he is intoxicated, the Lord looks bewildered, and his eyes appearing like flowers in full bloom, moved to and fro. He pleases his personal associates, the heads of the demigods, by the sweet vibrations emanating from his mouth. How, why, and what kind of intoxication is this, Haribol?
This word is used to describe those who are absorbed in love of God. It's a kind of intoxication that causes one's external activities and appearance to be outside of the norm. Or an analogous to something that is of a person who is under the influence of something. So that under the influence of something, in this case, he's under the influence of pure loving emotion. So it's described as being intoxicated. His eyes roll from side to side. His eyes look like they're blossoming flowers. You see, even in the material world, when somebody is so-called in love, they don't make sense a lot of times.
Thank you, Maharaj. I think I'm not in love yet.
Okay. keep going.
Okay. Thank you, Haribol.
Keep drinking that elixir of transcendental knowledge and you'll become inebriated.
Sure, Haribol.
We have a question from Devanand Prabhu, and he writes, Lord Krishna is unlimited. For example, today you talked about such an amazing aspect of him as the white serpent. At the same time, we say Krishna has six unique opulences, all strength, all beauty, and so on. Are we limiting the unlimited Krishna by saying that he has only six opulences? Why not seven, not eight or 108, or not a million?
These are the prominent ones.
I see.
But if you read the Nectar of Devotion, and we should read Nectar of Devotion, you find all of the qualities of Krishna. It mentions that there are 64 qualities of Krishna. These are also compared to be opulences. But these are just the beginning. Even 64 is just a limitation. But then again, if you use the comparison within the material realm and you take the opulences there and you apply them to Krishna, you see he has these opulences in full, in perfection. So it's just for us. But he has many more opulences. He can simply, which is not mentioned in his 64 opulences, he can simply desire and something happens. That's all.
Thank you.
We have a follow-up question from Jyoti Mataji, and she's requesting, Maharaj, you've mentioned about mood. You know, I request you, could you please share this in detail? This is requesting, what does the mood means here when we say Krishna is in that mood? Or
well, the word mood is obvious. Again, the mood of anger, the mood of lust, the mood of greed, the mood of when some particular type of consciousness appears and it becomes prominent, we get into that mood. That's all. We have our moods too. Sometimes we say, this child is very moody.
We have a question from Hemi Mataji. She says, Hare Krishna Maharaj, we think we are doing our best. Will there be indications in our devotional service which will tell us we are doing our best or not?
Yeah.
Would you like to share what kind of indications, Prabhu, Maharaj?
What are the indications that we're doing our best?
Yes.
When we keep trying to do better.
Wonderful. Devotees, don't hesitate to unmute yourself. Please. Go ahead, ask any questions that you might have while Maharaj is still here.
Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam.
Hey Ma, hey me.
I just want to offer my obeisances, and I want to say that I'm really eternally grateful to you, because I was really looking for the answer of the mood I was not getting from the books. I wanted some practical answer, and I got it today.
Thank you.
Still yeah. Not very clear with what is the prominency, how we can find it, because it's very difficult to find that prominence in the mind. It is not that easy in the practical way. I mean,
moods may also appear in association with situations or with people. A particular mood may come about to us due to the association with a certain person, association with a certain activity. A mood may start to manifest accordingly. If we go to the temple, our mood generally turns to be more in the mood of prayer and the mood of worship. When we go to our relatives, then our mood is mostly gossip. When we go to the store and we're shopping, our mood is to spend. If you go shopping and you don't have the mood to spend, you're just wasting your time.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
So we have to pre-plan our mood, right? We have to be dominant in that area.
Yeah, we can pre-plan it, but at the same time, it's also influenced to some degree. But there are some people who are not influenced by anything, and they can bring their moods on and off. And that's one who is highly intelligent. He knows how to control his moods or her moods.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
I offer my humble obeisances, Maharaj. I have a doubt that if a devotee somehow or the other by mistaken, if he falls down, can he still get the transcendental bliss by doing the spiritual activities?
Well, if he falls down, he just gets back up again, that's all. And if he begins his activities again, then he's no longer fallen. Falling means you slip from your activities, you commit some offense, you get back up, you rectify, and then you continue. Yeah, and you're no longer fallen anymore.
Thank you, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Yeah. Don't stay down. Prabhupada used to say it's third class to fall down, it's first class to get back up. When you get tired of falling down, then you won't fall down anymore.
Thank you, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Hare.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Anant Koti Dhanvat Pranam to your lotus feet, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev ki jai, Srila Radha Gopinath ki jai. Maharaj, your mani is touched too hard. Maharaj, I have one question. Can I ask Maharaj?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Maharaj, material, in a material world nowadays, whether it's office or home or outside, people are cheaters. They eat our hard work money like a Scorpio, jo bichu ki tarah dung dete. But when spiritual, those are practicing from 7, 8, 9 years and they eat our hard work money and they are not returning our hard work money, then what should our mood? We can only pray for that soul. But Prabhuji, Maharaj, it's too much pain that spiritual, those who are practicing from 7-8 years in a ISKCON and they are not return our hard work money, then what should our mood, Maharaj? Koti koti dandvat pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev ki jai. Learn from my ma, papa and grandma to forgive and forget. But it is very painful because it's very hard work money and we save for a Shishi Radha Gopinath lotus feet that money and they are not returning. So it's very painful that why spiritual, those who are practicing spiritually and they are hurting so many matas in Mataji and Prabhuji's hard work money they eat.
What can you do? You have to protect yourself from being cheated or harmed by them by being careful. And they sometimes they say once burned, twice shy. You make a mistake one time with one person, then we know we can't trust. When trust is not there, then relationships break down. So you have to develop relationships based on the principle of trust. yeah, you said forgive and forget. That may not always work. Forgive is there, but forget, don't forget. Don't, if you forget, then you'll be doing the same thing again. Forgive and don't forget. But forgive means to, by don't forgetting, you won't make the same mistake again.
Yes, Maharaj, Anant Koti Dandvat Pranam to your lotus feet. We will follow your instruction, Maharaj. Thank you, Maharaj.
Hari, hari, Goranga. You just have to feel that, you know, these people that are doing that to you, you don't hate them, but you don't associate them with them either.
Yes, Maharaj, we follow your instruction. Hari, hari, Goranga. Thank you, Maharaj. Koti, Koti Dandvat Pranam.
Hare Krishna.
Anybody else who would like to pose last minute questions to Maharaj? I don't see any questions, no hands raised. Everybody's fully satisfied and content.
You are such a good host.
What are you saying?
You make everyone feel good. How much do you charge per hour?
Oh, no, no. Hari. Hari.
Maharaj, your blessings, Maharaj. Our charge is your blessings and love.
Okay. It's priceless.
Yes, that's
yes, true. Maharaj.
Maybe you can come on and instruct some of my devotees who do my program. They need some... They need to hear from the hostess with the mostest.
No, Maharaj, but I will take up on that. If you need me for any of your services, please don't hesitate to reach out.
Okay, I'm making a note of that.
I need Maharaj. So much more to get all rid of the material contaminations all over, Maharaj. It's in mind, body, soul, everywhere. Aura is full of contamination. You got to decontaminate.
Okay. Well, anyway, you do a wonderful job in presenting Krishna consciousness. That's nice.
You're so kind, Maharaj. Thanks for your blessings. There was one Mataji wanted to say something.
Yes, Maharaj, Sisi Jagannath Rath Yatra in Atlanta Panihati Dham at 4th July and next day Panihati Festival. So Maharaj, please, can you please talk a little bit about Sisi Jagannath Rath Yatra? We are so hungry to hear from you, Krishna Katha, Krishna Katha, Krishna Katha.
You mentioned what dates, July 4th?
4th July, 4th July and 5th July. 4th July is Shri Shri Jagannath Rath Yatra in Atlanta Panihati Dham. And the 5th July is 4th June, please forgive me, after 10 days. 4th June, not 4th July. And the next day is Panihati, the Dahichira Festival. From last 10 years, it's going on in Atlanta Panihati Dham. So can you please explain some Leela about Sisi Jagannath?
Jagannath Leela. Well, when Krishna was in Dwarka, he had been away from Vrindavan for so many years, the residents of Vrindavan were feeling so full of transcendental separation and anxiety that all I could think about was bringing Krishna back. And they were sending messages to Krishna. But Krishna was staying in Dwarka, but at the same time, he was feeling really strong about going back to Vrindavan. And even in the middle of the night, Krishna would somehow be chanting the names of the gopis or his mother. He would be singing, chanting, Jai Radhe, and he would be longing to go back. And so some of the queens that were with Krishna and Dwarka were hearing all that. And they were thinking, wow, Krishna's with us, but he seems like he wants to be, he doesn't want to be with us. He wants to be with the residents of Vrindavan. So what is it about the residents of Vrindavan that are so special that Krishna wants to go back to them? So they were all wondering. So they decided to find out more. So they went to Rohini. Rohini was there. Rohini was the mother of Balaram. But she was also there when Krishna had his pastimes in Vrindavan when he was a young boy. So she knew Krishna's early pastimes. And she was also, in one sense, a resident of Vrindavan. Now she was staying in Dwarka. So all those the prominent queens got around Rohini and said, Rohini, please tell us Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. We want to hear those. We're so excited because Krishna just loves Vrindavan so much. And she said, well, this is a problem. You know, if I start talking about Vrindavan and Krishna's pastimes, he's here now. He's going to leave. He's going to immediately leave and go back to Vrindavan. So you'll lose him. So they all thought, what can we do? Let's have a private session and we'll make sure Krishna doesn't come. So that was the plan. So they came to the assembly house and all the queens got there and Rohini was there. Then they had to have a guard at the door. So they decided to make Subhadra, Krishna's younger sister, the guard. She was supposed to guard it, and if Krishna got near, she was supposed to alert everyone, Krishna's coming. So, and then Rohini started to narrate, and as soon as she started to talk, the queens became more and more, as she continued on, absorbed, and everyone lost consciousness of everything around. And Subhadra at the door, she was also listening, and as she was listening, she went into ecstasy. And in that ecstasy, her hands and her legs coiled into her body, and she swooned in loving emotion and separation, and she lost consciousness. Now there was nobody guarding the door. And then after some time, nobody knew what happened to Subhadra because they were all absorbed listening to Rohini. And then Lord Balaram, he comes and he sees the situation. He says, oh, sees Subhadra there in ecstasy. And then there's my mother. She's speaking about me and my brother. Let me listen. So he starts to listening. And then his eyes start to roll in ecstasy. And his hands and legs coil within his body, and he faints out of love. And now Balaram is laying there also on the floor. And after some time, and nobody's even aware what's going on around except they're listening to Rohini. And then what happens now is Krishna comes and he sees his younger sister and older brother just in ecstasy, unconscious. Oh, there's my mother, Mohini. She's speaking. Oh, she's talking about me. Let me listen. So he starts listening, and then he starts to go in ecstasy. And then his eyes start to roll and get really big. They just expand like huge. And then his arms and legs coil into his body, and he just falls onto the ground unconscious, and nobody knows what happened. This is the actual pastime, which is preliminary to the Jagannath Rath Yatra. Then when Krishna comes out of that state, he just wants to go back to Vrindavan. And then the trip from Dwarka to Vrindavan is the trip from Aishwarya Bhav to Madhurya Rasa, to Madhurya Bhav, Vrindavan. So, and then that's described really nicely in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, where Balaram and Subhadra are leading the carts and taking Jagannath back, or Krishna back to Vrindavan. Jagannath is actually the manifestation of Krishna in the mood of separation from his pure devotees. So we worship Krishna in that mood of Jagannath because he's in the mood of separation. You see, his arms and legs are coiled into his body and his eyes are big. This is the mood that he exhibits when he is in ecstasy in separation from the devotees of Vrindavan.
Wonderful. Really wonderful. I'm saying on behalf of probably every devotee here. So, so nice. So wonderful. Thank you, Maharaj.
That's Jagannath.
Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. Jai Jai Jagannath. Jai Jai Baldeva. Jai Jai Subhadra Rani. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev, Vijay Gopinath ki Jai. Thank you, Maharaj. Koti koti dandavat pranam.
Hare Krishna. Jai Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani ki Jai.
Jai.
Om Milachala Nivesaya Nityaya Paramatmane Balabhadra Subhadra Braj Jagannathaya Te Namaha.
Pooja Mataji has been thanking you, Maharaj, for taking up his question from her son who was asking questions on quantum world. And she also apologizes that he's new to devotion, so he doesn't have Vaishnava etiquette. So if you could kindly bless him.
I thought he was nice.
There you go, Pooja Mataji.
Obviously, he is a scientists using the word quantum or future scientists. Yes, I appreciated that question because it gave us a chance to glorify Srimad Bhagavatam.
Any last-minute questions for Maharaj?
Alita Tangi. Alita Tangi Radha. I heard the Toronto Rath Yatra is happening this year.
Mataji, your video is not coming, and voice also.
Yeah, you're speaking without speaking.
Mataji, your voice is not coming, Mataji.
Push your button.
Tangi Mataji, you are muted, I believe.
Push your button on the computer.
Her voice is not coming.
She's in ecstasy, that's why she can't speak.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, am I audible?
Yes, Mataji.
Okay, please.
Anyway, you got, finally, you came out of your ecstasy. Now you can speak. Okay.
Maharaj, the way you.
You're back in ecstasy again.
Not able to hear, dear Edgy Lalitangi Gopi. No, the device is in ecstasy, Maharaj. It's going on and off.
It's a devious device. It's not a device, it's devious.
I had requested the festival team to reach out to you as you had inquired about it from me. So we are waiting to serve you, Maharaj, here.
Okay, I'm almost bought my ticket.
Haribol.
Let's see. Okay, thank you. So we'll stop here and my obeisances to all of the devotees. Pancha Kalpa,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare. Thank you.
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you so much. Hare.
Thank you so much, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Krishna.
Hare Krishna, everyone, for joining. Thank you so much for everyone for joining today's class. We'll meet tomorrow. Happy Ekadasi to everyone. Thank you, Maharaj. Please bless all of us. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Happy Ekadashi.
Hare
Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krish